Blog Talk Radio.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, get on up and do your stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said, everybody, get on up and do your stuff. You better get up. Don't be so rough, but you got to be tough when you do your stuff.
Hey! Hey, everybody.
Welcome to college.
Happy Friday. My name is Elizabeth Chris, and I'll be the host of the next 30 minutes on Concert College, where it's on Congress. You can do it twice weekly. On the Monday show, which is 6:30 p.m. This is when the conversation is the line of the Congress. We need to talk about what will be coming up in the Senate of the United States and the House of Representatives. And then on the Friday show, which of course is the show you're listening to right now, this is when we recap the week. And we talk about literally what will be going on in the Senate, what will be going on in the House of Representatives, what has been going on, what did they end up doing? Did they do what they said they were going to do, or did they fail to do it? Were you pleased with the way you were represented? Because think about it. Those guys and gals in the Senate, those guys and gals in the House of Representatives, they represent you. They represent me. So I say this all the time. I believe we should know at least what our representatives are up to. That's one of the reasons I do the show. Another reason is to familiarize folks with the free website, gradegov.com. And of course, gradegov.com lets you grade a member of Congress. How about your member of Congress? You want to give your member of Congress an A? Boy, maybe you want to give them a D or an F. GradeGov is free. I pledge that it always will be free. So tell your friends and family to pop over to GradeGov.com and let your voice be heard. All right, let me just say this. The song you just listened to is Perk Badger. It's called Do Your Stuff. I really enjoy it. It gets me all hyped up, and it gets me excited to do my stuff for you guys when it comes to all things Congress. So we're going to start out with the Senate of the United States. They're out until July 6th, but before they ended up going out this week, they ended up doing the Puerto Rican funding bill, and it was signed by the president yesterday. This was passed by the House of Representatives earlier in the month, and it would allow them to actually restructure $70 billion in debt that they were facing as of July 1. You know, the model for this was basically put together and very similar to legislation that was done for our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., something like 20 years ago. I remember it, maybe 24 years ago. Here's the deal. The legislation won't stop Puerto Rico from defaulting its $2 billion debt. And it now has a path to solvency, but it's very long, nothing fast about it. Kind of the joke is, you're kidding me. The Congress of the United States that can't balance a budget is going to tell Puerto Rico how to get their act together, but they did. They used formulas done before in similar legislation. It'll make the bankruptcy process more orderly. You know, the Commonwealth doesn't have a system in which they can go in front of a bankruptcy judge. So basically what Congress ended up doing was being the bankruptcy judge and figuring out their financial future. So they ended up passing it, and the president signed it yesterday. Let me say this. When the Senate gets back on July 6th, they're going to start trying to do a bill dealing with sanctuary cities. and then one dealing with Kate's Law. And then they're also going to start with the Defense Appropriations Bill. So they've got a lot on their plate. Now, the House of Representatives went out last week. They weren't in at all this week. But guess what the Speaker needed to do? I believe it was yesterday. He made the announcement as a result of a conference call. He announced that the majority in the House of Representatives will allow a vote on gun violence weeks ago. On the conference call, Paul Ryan said it was common sense that suspects on the terror watch list should not be able to buy guns. But the speaker said he wants to make sure that any provision perfects due process so that people who are accidentally on the list would be caught in the crosshairs, so to speak. The House Minority Whip, Steve Warrior, said he's going to take a look at the bill. I'm going to quote here. We will also be urging the Speaker, this is Steny Hoyer, the Democrat from Maryland, we will also be urging the Speaker to allow for an open process that provides House Democrats with a chance to file amendments and have a vote on a bipartisan no-fly, no-buy bill. So we'll see how that plays out. I don't know if you heard about this. We talked about this, or I talked about this on the Shay King Show on Wednesday. Our Attorney General met with Bill Clinton. She talks about it in a real quick interview. I want to play it. This is a little less than 2 minutes. Here you go.
Certainly my meeting with him raises questions and concerns, and so, believe me, I completely get that question. And I think it is the question of the day. Mm-hmm. But I think the issue is, again, what is my role in how that matter is going to be resolved? And so let me be clear on how that is going to be resolved. I've gotten that question a lot also over time, and we usually don't go into those deliberations, but I do think it's important that people see what that process is like. As I've always indicated, the matter is being handled by career agents and investigators with the Department of Justice. They've had it since the beginning. They are independent.
Which predates your tenure as Attorney General.
It predates my tenure as Attorney General. It is the same team, and they are acting independently. They follow the law. They follow the facts. That team will make findings. That is to say, they will come up with a chronology of what happened, the factual scenario. They will make recommendations as to how to resolve what those facts lead to. The recommendations will be reviewed by career supervisors in the Department of Justice and in the FBI, and by the FBI director. And then, as is the common process, they present it to me, and I fully expect to accept their recommendations.
That's the magic word, folks. Our Attorney General says that she fully expects to accept the recommendations of the Attorney General's office to the Department of Justice, that he believes that she should indict. And that is the process that they send to the Justice Department. And she does not. Whatever faith there is left in the Justice Department, in my mind, is going to go right out the window. She talked about at the beginning of the clip that these are rear investigators, career lawyers. And that's code for it. It doesn't matter who's president, a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, a man from the Mars, a woman from Venus. It doesn't matter. But if she doesn't listen to that basically nonpartisan, no partisan, completely apolitical investigation, then you might as well just say, under Loretta Lynch's Department of Justice, Republicans are guilty and Democrats are not. It's that simple. Republicans are going to be guilty and Democrats are not. That is a horrible, horrible place to leave us the system. So my hope, my prayer, is that she does accept what the FBI sends to the Justice Department. And there is some sort of real investigation by the Justice Department, some kind of indictment, and we'll see how that plays out. Well, I listened to a council of mayors because he didn't show up. He said he was unavailable. This is what the head of the council of mayors said. This is, again, he's the Oklahoma mayor of, I can't remember the city in Oklahoma. why that is Oklahoma City. Presidents who seem to have a strong preference for dealing with governors as opposed to dealing with mayors. We would prefer a president who is open to dealing with directly with mayors or with regional economies. And then when you ask them what was the most important thing to this council of mayors, conference of mayors, health care, infrastructure, virus, and then opiate addiction. This is also something they addressed. They said they've seen a lot of instances recently where states are preempting local laws, like North Carolina barring cities from passing non-discrimination ordinances, and Oklahoma prohibiting cities from raising the minimum wage. You know, this mayor, who's a Republican, basically said it's frustrating. It's very frustrating because this is what he said. It seems that legislators who are on the right or politically in the center constantly say that Washington is too powerful and more decisions should be made at the local level. Then, at the state level, they go ahead and do the exact same thing. Well, you know, it isn't the same thing, Mr. Mayor. If the governors are going to reach down and push around mayors a little bit, it's not the same thing as the federal government blanketing and saying to all 50 states, you have to do this, you have to do it our way, and you have to do it now. And oh, by the way, we're not going to give you funding to do whatever it is we're telling you you have to do. That is a little different. You know, this administration has been a master at playing chess. When the Republicans in Congress, when Republicans in general, Republican governors seem to be playing checkers. This is one of the reasons I say this. Democrats are targeting content and control of the internet. They're doing it through new regulations. It's going to look like censorship, but they're going to call it diversity. They're going to call it, oh, we're protecting bullying. They're going to do this through the FCC Commission, Federal Communications Commission, and the Federal Elections Commission. They're doing it in the name of protecting freedom. I'm serious, folks. When I say this president knows how to play chess better than anybody, I don't know that it's him. I'm under the strong suspicion that it is not him at all. It is Valerie Jarrett and that group. But they use every commission. They use every board. They use every panel. Every single panel, every single commission, every single board, every single agency, every single department to get their agenda across. You know, without getting too personal, my husband and I have been taking classes. And they're state classes, state of Florida. They're government-mandated classes for us to do something for federal, for the state government. And just recently, towards the end of one, they brought in Be Sensitive to the LBGT community. Not kidding you folks. Down to the level of Central Florida taking a class from the state government and dealing some insensitivities, they brought up the LBGT community. That's what I mean by this president plays chess and the Republicans seem to play checkers. Hey, let's listen here for 1 minute. Well, you know what? Let me go on Obamacare for a second. Do you think Obamacare has been successful? What would be your answer to that? First of all, do you know how many folks were unemployed before Obamacare took over? The number is 47.3 million. According to the Obama administration, they released new enrollment numbers Thursday that showed the number of people who signed up by January 31st exceeded those that were covered in the spring. But here's the deal. There's a huge drop-off. What happens is people don't pay their premiums. They sign up by the deadline. The deadline looks very inflated. It looks like a hugely successful program. And then when it comes to paying the premiums, 10 10 million people enrolled versus 47.3 million that supposedly need health insurance. I don't know, 25%? Is that good? After 3 full years? 4 full years? Is that good? Maybe 5%? I don't know. You be the judge. All right, let's flip up back over to the House of Representatives for a second. House Agriculture Chairman Michael Cobbett wants to talk about Trans-Pacific Partnership. He says that the hurdles that it will face will be huge. And I'm going to let him say it. He says it much better than I do. This is about a minute long. Take a listen.
TPP is hanging out there, and no one really has a good idea or see a path forward, certainly before the lame duck, but even within the lame duck, it would be difficult to pass that, particularly if you had a Trump as you know, President Trump as president-elect. It would be difficult to get that done based on his comments that he's made about the bill, it's about the agreement itself. I'm hard-pressed to see how Republicans would sour the relationship with a new president by doing something he's been so voraciously against throughout the campaign. But I think it's early to write the obituary for it, but it is going to be difficult to get it done.
I totally agree, especially if they wait till the lame duck session. I think it would be smart to wait till the lame duck session, because if President Trump is president-elect Trump, Chairman Conaway is exactly right. Why would members of the House and members of the Senate poke in the eye the incoming president? Why would they do that? The election's over. There's no point in doing that. So I totally agree that some way we would get rid of the TPP altogether and let President Trump negotiate. He says he can negotiate better. He says he can negotiate better terms for America. That would be a way to do the test, how to make the phone calls. He's got to call the rich and the famous. He's got to be the one to make the phone calls. Then one makes the phone calls and they said, yes, we'll support you and we'll support the ticket in general. Then the phone lines are open for governors to call. Then the phone lines are open for senators to call, House members to call, for them to set up campaign fundraisers for them. He's got to make the initial phone calls. It's just the way it works, folks. I'm not making up the system. It's the way it works. 3 million versus 27 million, we're going to get slaughtered. Donald can say he can self-fund all he wants, but it's starting to sound selfish, because self-funding himself doesn't open the space from the other GOP donors. If he doesn't make the phone calls to open the spigots, we're going to lose governors. We're going to lose House seats. We're going to lose Senate seats. How effective can President Trump be if the Senate is in the majority hands run by Chuck Schumer? How effective can he be if Paul Ryan's majority is very thin all of this come January when he takes the oath of office? I did get something today, folks. I was kind of pleased. From Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump, he says, and from a letter, it's a hard copy, it's a snail mail letter, it's an actual campaign letter. I'm 100% committed to leading our party to victory in November. That's why I make it my first priority after securing the presidential nomination to reach out to you today and ask you to stand with me in this critically important undertaking. I hope this Skype stuff isn't too late. Hope he's making them. Should have been getting it a month ago. Should have been getting it 2 months ago. Is it too late? I don't know. Listen to the Obama camp saying they're going to campaign for Hillary. This is a little more than a minute.
President Barack Obama will make his first campaign stop with Hillary Clinton on Tuesday at a stop in Charlotte, North Carolina. He planned on appearing at a Clinton event 2 weeks ago, but had to reschedule due to the nightclub shooting in Orlando. It seems the location for the campaign stop was picked carefully. North Carolina is considered a battleground in the upcoming election. Obama won it in 2008, but narrowly lost it to Romney in 2012.
I know how hard this job can be. That's why I know Hillary will be so good at it. In fact, I don't think there's ever been someone so qualified to hold this office.
Obama already gave Clinton his endorsement earlier in June after separate conversations with her and her Democratic rival, Bernie Sanders. White House Communications Director Jen Psaki told Politico that Obama wants to turn the conversation away from whether or not Clinton is better than Donald Trump. Psaki said, quote, he wants to spend most of his time making the strong, optimistic case for the country under a future President Clinton and why she presents the best case to be his successor. For Newsy, I'm Kate Grumke.
Well, no surprise there. He's starting in the battleground states. He's starting in the states also where there are Senate candidates. Senator Burr, the Republican from North Carolina, is up for re-election. It's a tough race for him. It's going to be a tough race. And the money, folks, is going to be huge. $3 million versus $27 million is just not going to cut it. Do you know how much ad time she can buy for $3 million bucks? Do you know, $27 million, do you know how much money she can give to the Senate candidates and the House candidates and the governors if she's got that much money? She's opened the Democratic spigot. She's opened them wide. Nancy Pelosi is great. She's amazing at dying for dollars. That's one of the reasons they said she was such an amazing speaker. She may not have legislatively been all that great, but she could raise money, boy. And you know what? Speakers have PACs. They have leadership PACs where they're allowed to give out a bunch of money. So when they're running around raising money, for those that think that when they're raising money, it's all for Paul Ryan, the speaker's PAC, that is so far from the truth, it's not even funny. The speaker is almost required to raise tons and tons and tons and tons of money. It's so hard to do. The guy at the top, get in the game with us. I'm in the game. We want you in the game. I hope he figures it out soon. I really, really hope he figures it out soon. Let me finish up with a little bit of news from the Senate, going back to the Senate. Before they went out this week, they tried to pass a bill that would fund the Zika virus. Remember, this is a big priority for mayors, which would earmark money that's now on the books for Ebola, would turn a bunch of it around to be used for Zika. It's $1.1 billion, the whole bill, when it's all said and done. The Democrats wouldn't vote for it. They fell 8 votes short in the Senate. Senator Donnelly, the Democrat from Indiana, is the only Republican, I'm only Democrat, that walked across the aisle and voted for it. Why Democrats, aren't they the ones saying we need Zika, money for Zika virus? Planned Parenthood language is in here. There's money in this bill that would prevent funding to go into Planned Parenthood. So the Democrats said, no, can't sign off on it, even though that's a health care issue. Zika is health care. They wouldn't sign off on it. Senator McConnell said this on Tuesday. He said this is partisan politics, in quote. They might like to pretend that Zika control measure is woefully inadequate. But Senate Democrats are all on record supporting this level of funding. It's really puzzling to hear Democrats claim to be advocates for women's health measures when they are the ones trying to block the Zika legislation. Remember, the Zika virus affects pregnant women, well, really their fetuses, their babies, more than anybody else. The unborn is who it affects. It's not that much of a stretch to have some language dealing with Planned Parenthood in this bill, but the Democrats wouldn't hear of it.
So they blocked it. All right, get your paper pencil out. I always just at Congress College towards the end. We talk about the president's daily schedule for today, and here you go. 10 o'clock, the president received his daily briefing. And at 10:20, the president received a briefing on this virus. That is it, folks. That is the president's schedule for today. You know, I do the president's daily schedule at almost every airing of Congress College, so you can see for yourself how hardworking our president is. He has something at 10 in the morning and 10:20. That is it. Do yourself a favor. Google a favorite past president. Maybe it's Jimmy Carter. Maybe it's Ronald Reagan. Maybe it's Bill Clinton. And then drill down to, I don't know, a couple of days before the 4th of July, a Thursday or a Friday, in the middle of their presidency. And I guarantee you, their schedule will start out at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, right in the president, in the family quarters, 8 or 8:30, meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, 9 o'clock for cabinet members, 10 o'clock meeting with leadership, Senate leadership, 10:30, 11 o'clock meeting with House leadership, 12 o'clock meeting with chairman, on and on and on it will go all the way to 7 o'clock at night. Folks, I have never seen a single day in this president's schedule that looks like that. I'm just saying. All right, let me leave you with a Gloria Gaynor. I will survive, because you know what? The United States will survive. With God's blessing, it will. In the meantime, pray for our nation. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends. Pray for our leadership. And also, have a wonderful, wonderful, and blessed 4th of July holiday. I will talk to you next Friday. So enjoy. Be safe.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned.